Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, and pouches that gives you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz that you're used to without tobacco. Fully Loaded Chew comes in 9 flavors and is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine. To give us a try, head on over to fullyloadedchew.com for a $1 can of chew with free shipping when you enter the code OUTDOOR1, OUTDOOR, and the number 1. For more information on our product line, visit fullyloadedchew.com.
Hey guys and gals, welcome to the Oklahoma Outdoor Podcast, where you will be educated, entertained, and equipped to get more out of your outdoor experience. So hold on tight, because here we go. And we're back. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast. I am your host, John Hutspeth. I'm so glad you guys are with us this week. We have another jam-packed episode. We got I got a big announcement coming up here in just a few minutes. We got a nice long interview for you guys this week. I got some updates, you know, what I've been up to. And yeah, we just got a lot to cover this week, so I'm going to go ahead and dive into it. I'm going to start with what I've been up to here recently. This last weekend, I got to finally go out to the ranch and set up my new Banks blinds. I don't know if y'all remember last year when I was doing all my summer setup and summer prep and stuff. It seemed like every single time I went out there to do something, something went wrong. I had breakdowns, I had equipment failure, I had cows out, just all kind of, it seemed like every single time I went to get something done, I accomplished like maybe a quarter of what I went to do because just everything went wrong. This last weekend, total opposite. Like, I could not have dreamed of getting as much done as we got done. Got to go up there nice and early on Friday. I picked up the wood 4x4s that I used to elevate the blinds on my way up there. I got there before dark, so I went ahead and drove out to the different locations and set the 4x4s out. My good buddy Kelly was able to come up and help me on Saturday, as well as my brother. I wasn't expecting both of them to be able to help, but they were. So I woke up nice and early Saturday morning, jumped in the tractor, drove all the blinds out to where I wanted to set them up and everything. And then just about the time I got done with that, my brother called me a little bit unexpectedly. He's like, hey, I'm, you know, done for the day. I'm yours for a couple hours where you need me. I said, that's awesome. Jump in my truck, head back this way. About 10 minutes later, I get a call from my buddy Kelly. He's like, hey, I just picked up some Subway for lunch, and I'm on the way. I'll be there in just a couple minutes. And so before I knew it, we had three of us out there raising the blinds, putting the legs on. And it was just awesome. Like, we got all four blinds up. Now, I do not have any way to get into these blinds yet. I bought 4x4s for the legs, and then I've been collecting, you know, 2x4s, 2x6s, 2x8s, 2x12s, whatever I can get my hands on, you know, scraps lately. And so I braced all four of them. But I did not, like, basically make, like, a ladder system get in. Still kind of trying to figure out what I want to do there. These blinds, they're up there. I bought 10-foot 4x4s, and they're not angled out near as wide as I thought. I mean, they're plenty wide enough. I don't think they're going to blow over or anything. But they're way up there. And so, yeah, wood is very expensive right now. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. But anyway, got them all up, which is, you know, what I needed help for. I can easily go by myself and make the ladders if I need to. Not only that, we got two feeders moved. We got the feeder pins moved with them. Both of these feeder pins are going to end up being completely hog-proof, which is what I'm all about. I've killed enough hogs. I mean, every once in a while, yeah, it's fun to kill a hog, but you know, when you've killed as many as I have, it's not like I have a huge urge to kill more of them. So yeah, I got some blinds up, got some feeder pins built, and I am like way, way ahead of schedule. Also got some more good news. I think I'm going to have some more weekends before my baby comes than I thought. So I'll have probably at least two more weekends to go up there and do stuff. So I'll be able to finish up the ladders, finish up some odd and end stuff. Still trying to figure out if I'm going to do some late spring food plots. I just don't know. Honestly, I don't know if I'm going to have the time or the finances to do that. I might just wait till this fall. But anyway, so long story short, I got way more done this weekend than I ever thought I would. So that was awesome. And then this coming weekend, which would have just passed by the time y'all are listening to this, my wife and I are taking our little baby moon out to Broken Bow. We got a cabin. We're going to take the boat with us, but on Friday, we are going on a guided crappie fishing trip. And so if you've listened to this podcast for a while, I talked about it a lot last year. I've been trying to get more into crappie fishing. I just don't know what I'm doing. I've not been very successful. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to pay somebody who does know what they're doing to take me out, kind of teach me what's going on. And you guys are also going to benefit from this because the guy that I'm going with, he's agreed to come on the podcast after our trip. You know, we're going to talk about the trip, what we did to catch the fish, how we were catching them, all that good stuff. So you guys are going to get to come along. Not only, you know, will I talk about the trip, obviously, but then we're going to do a whole podcast on it. And then we're actually taking a second trip with this guide later with my dad and brothers. So we'll talk about, you know, how we were catching fish this time, how you catch fish later in the summer. So it's going to be kind of a good two for one type deal. So, and then just speaking of podcasts in general, guys, like this thing, it's just awesome, guys. And it's all because of you, all because of you listeners. Like a year ago, I was struggling week to week to try. I was scrounging to find guests, you know, reaching out to people on social media, begging people to come on. If I had somebody scheduled out a week in advance, that was like a huge blessing. And then all of a sudden, guys, I mean, like this spring has just been awesome. I already have my podcast lined up for next week. I have a stack of business cards in front of me right now with all people who, you know, said they would come on the podcast. I got two guys, just random phone numbers written down next to my computer here. Guys that I met at the Backwoods show or I was referred to from the Backwoods show and stuff. So, I mean, I got a good like 7-8 weeks worth of podcasts here, plus my turkey hunt. So all that to say, we got a lot more content coming up and I'm very excited for where this podcast is going. And speaking of where the podcast is headed, y'all like that transition there? I mentioned at the beginning, we had another big announcement this week and we do. The Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast has a new partner coming on and it is the guys from Arrowhead Land Company, Will Bellis and Andrew Schultz. They are longtime real estate agents. They've been in the business a long time, a lot of experience between the two. They have recently formed Arrowhead Land Company, and they are jumping on as our new title sponsor for the show. And so very, very excited to have them on. That is this week's guest. And so you guys get to meet them and learn all about buying land. We talk about, we talk about a lot of stuff. We talk about the financial side. We talk about, you know, what to look for, what you should do when you're looking for a piece of land. And then towards the end, we get into some more like general, just kind of hunting stuff. I ask them a question that I get asked a ton through social media and stuff about what part of the state they prefer to hunt. You know, if you're looking for whitetail and stuff, I get asked that question all the time, you know, which corner of the state is best for whitetail hunting. So I ask these guys their opinion because they've been all over the state and looked at properties all over the place. So we talk about that and much, much more. So very excited for this partnership. Very excited to have these guys on the podcast. I think y'all are going to learn a lot from it. So without further ado, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to pack for my trip this weekend, do a little fishing. I'll let y'all know how it goes. And that's going to do it for me this week, guys. I hope you guys enjoy. Here's my episode with Arrowhead Land Company right after this. So this weekend, my wife and I are headed out on a guided fishing trip because let's be honest, I don't know what I'm doing. So I hired a guide to take me out and give us a special fishing trip. Maybe you're listening to this and you do know what you're doing, but you're still looking for something different, something special. If that's the case, you should head over to Private Water Fishing and sign up for a membership today. Private Water Fishing leases lakes all over Texas and Oklahoma. You get the entire lake all to yourself all day. Not only do you get the lake to yourself, but these lakes are managed for big bass or crappie or whatever you might be after. And these aren't just little stock tanks, guys. These lakes, almost all of them are 10 acre plus. You know, you can truly spend an entire day on one of these things, fishing your heart's desire. So if that sounds good to you, head over to privatewaterfishing.com and sign up today. It's almost that time, guys. It is almost velvet season. That's right. The whitetails are growing their antlers, which means it's time to get your trail cameras out in the woods. I actually have two on my desk right here waiting for me to update them and get them out there. And when I do, I'm going to be using Deer Lab to help me get the most out of the trail camera photos that I'm getting. Deer Lab is a web-based system that truly helps you utilize trail cameras to the fullest. It pulls in weather data, it pulls in moon data, it pulls in, obviously, you know, your time, your date, all that good stuff, and helps you truly track a deer down, track its movements. One interesting observation I've made so far since playing with Deer Lab is that my main target buck, 3/4 of the pictures I got of him were all during the same moon phase. You know, moon phase isn't something I've never really considered that much. I've always gone back and forth on the debate, but I can't argue with the results, and I would not have found those out if it wasn't for Deer Lab. So check it out, deerlab.com. Get more organized. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's show, and today we got two guests this week. We got Will Bellis and Andrew Schultz. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, John. How are you, man?
Doing good, John.
Doing good. We talked about it a little bit before we started recording. We're recording this on Cinco de Mayo, and so we both have some full bellies, a margarita in us, and so I think that's some, you know, pretty good podcasting atmosphere we got going on here. So
we agree, man.
All right. Well, you guys recently started your own little venture. You guys are the owners and operators of Arrowhead Land Company. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But real quick, before we get into that, I want to give you guys a quick little opportunity to introduce yourselves. So, Will, let's start with you. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm born and raised in Missouri, outside of Kansas City. I'm a transplant to Oklahoma close to 20 years ago. I owned an outfitting business here for close to 12 years. And one thing I learned about Oklahoma, that everyone here is they love their state and they're proud of it. And they love the land. And it's just been a blessing to be a part of that over the years and with all the local folks. And it's just one of those deals that they welcome you and they make you feel home.
Andrew, how about yourself?
Yeah, man. So I was actually born and raised in Illinois, central Illinois. Mm-hmm. Flat, fertile farm ground. Not a lot of recreational opportunities to speak of around there. And that's what kind of sparked my love for hunting and the outdoors. And, you know, I've lived several different places throughout my career. And then it's actually through my friendship and partnership with Will that brought me to the state of Oklahoma. And I'm telling you, man, Oklahoma is still such a sleeper state as far as what it has to offer. And, you know, what Will just said, I've seen the same thing ever since I've been here. People are proud to live in this state, and I'm proud to live in this state. And it has so much to offer the outdoorsman and really anybody for that matter. And so if you're looking for just a good blue collar place to live with lots of opportunities, both professionally and personally, lots of recreational opportunities. I mean, you've got hogs, deer, ducks, you name it, anything you could ever want to hunt and do. It's all right here at your fingertips. And it's such a diverse state as well. And so my friendship and partnership with Will, like I said, that's what brought me here. Really happy to be here and really happy to be talking with you on the podcast today, man.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, me having this podcast and promoting our state is such a bittersweet thing because I feel like we still somehow have maintained that sleeper state mentality, you know, especially on a national scene. But I feel like, you know, that might be changing soon. And so bragging on our state is, it's awesome, but it's also a little challenging because, you know, you don't want the word to get out too much. But you know, we might get into that a little bit later. You guys, obviously as real estate agents, you know, y'all, I'm sure y'all are welcoming people in, and I don't blame you for that whatsoever. So, well, like I mentioned earlier, you guys, own Arrowhead Land Company. So real quick, why don't y'all just give us a quick little rundown of, you know, about your company, how it got started, where y'all are based out of, where all you work, just kind of cover the whole gamut.
Yeah, man. So sorry if I bounce around on you here. It's been kind of a wild ride. So mm-hmm. Really, we started launching Arrowhead as a as a land investment avenue. So we've been selling real estate for quite a while. I think Will and I both, since around 2016, we both had experience in real estate prior to that, but we started in sales in 2016. And Arrowhead, up until really just a few weeks ago, actually closer to a couple of weeks ago, was really going to be a land investment avenue, kind of a side business, if you will, that paired well with what we do every day, which is help people buy and sell land, right? So what we were going to be doing is helping people invest in properties in a less traditional way, as just another investment avenue, kind of like buying a stock, something of that nature. And what we were going to do is couple that with what we were doing with our previous brokerage, buying and selling real estate for people, or helping them rather. And so a little more than a couple weeks ago, we actually moved in a different direction from our past brokerage, or they moved in a different direction as well. It was kind of a mutual thing. And so what we did was we kind of pumped the brakes on what we were doing with Arrowhead and said, hey, we're going to open our own real estate brokerage now. And that's what Arrowhead is going to be, because that's what we know. That's our bread and butter. And so we worked with our web developers, and we worked with a handful of people who were helping us get Arrowhead launched as a land investment firm. And we've now turned it into a real estate brokerage. And so we're really, really excited. Helping people buy and sell real estate is really all we've known for the last several years. And in fact, it's all I've ever known. Ever since I got out of college, or even was an intern in college, I was involved in, you know, the land sales industry, if you will, the land sales real estate. And so that's what we're doing with Arrowhead. And so Arrowhead, where that came from, is we were looking for something that would resonate with everybody, right? We didn't want to be pigeonholed to deer hunting. We didn't want to be pigeonholed to cattle ranching, farming. Like, we wanted something that everybody respected, everybody resonated with, and everybody was familiar with. And that's really where Arrowhead came from, is no matter where you're at across North America, across the United States, you can find Arrowheads just about anywhere. I don't care if you're a farmer, a rancher, a hunter, an outdoorsman. There's not a single person who doesn't find pleasure in looking down, seeing an Arrowhead that hasn't been touched in years and years and years, picking that thing up and trying to imagine where that was at in a different lifetime, you know? So we just wanted to create a brand that just resonated across the country, because we do have plans to be of service to people all across the United States. So that's something that we're wanting to do, and something we're excited about. We know that great brands aren't built overnight, you know, the Googles, the Apples, the you name it. But we want to blow this thing up, and we're really excited about what we've created in a short period of time. So, Will, I don't know if you have anything to add to that or not, but it's one of those things that you just never know what God puts his path in front of you. And we're just super fortunate that we're put in those situations to really move forward and act swiftly. I would say that Andrew and I and our whole team here are go-getters. So when it comes to like moving swiftly, moving fast and making things happen, that is a crucial part in the real estate world in general and in business. When you can make decisions on a fly and you can live with them, that's the decisions you make. And that can really help, you know, that really helps our buyers, that really helps our sellers, and that really helps us in business. So we take a lot of pride in that, of being able to, you know, to whatever comes our way, we own it. And we look forward and we move forward and we just keep growing. So that's kind of what I would say we're built on. I mean, our deal is as hardworking agents, you know, working for hardworking landowners. So that's what
that's where we stand.
And really, John, like part of the arrowhead, the symbolicness or the symbolism behind it is just everything it stands for, you know, strength, courage, bravery. Like, Will and I both, we didn't come from, you know, anything special, and we pride ourselves on our work ethic and our hustle and just facing our fears and tackling life head on type of deal. You know what I mean? And so what that arrowhead embodies is everything that we embody, and that's what we built our core values around for Arrowhead Land Company.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome, man. It's an awesome mission. I really like it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. And y'all, you know, mentioned growing in other states and stuff. Are you guys just licensed in Oklahoma, or do you have your licenses in other states? You know, we have listeners from all the way around Oklahoma and over the country. You know, if somebody from Kansas or, you know, calls you or something like that, are you going to be able to help them out?
Yeah, so right now, Arrowhead Land Company is only licensed in Oklahoma at the moment. Will and I both have other licenses that we haven't made active underneath our new entity, our new brokerage yet, but those are coming. And no matter where you're at in the United States, there's going to come a time where we're coming, you know? So that's something we want to do. We want to scale, you know, in our immediate future. We're going to try and stay as close to home as possible as we branch out, but we're opportunists. And if the right opportunity arises to be able to help somebody or help folks in other states that aren't right out our back door or right against our borders, we want to be able to help people. So we feel like we've got a really good grasp on how to help people buy and sell land successfully and how to help agents who are trying to make a living at this be successful. And so if we can spread that in other states and other places, we want to do that. So
fantastic. Fantastic. Awesome. Well, I think we're ready to kind of dive off into the deep end now that we've kind of covered all of our bases. And so this first question, I figure we might as well just start at the beginning. So let's say I'm me, you know, and I'm interested in buying a piece of property. What should be my first step? You know, should I start by going to the bank? Should I contact you guys as an agent? Should I start looking for land online and pick a piece and then call you guys? Where should I start?
So, first thing that I would recommend to anyone is this market is so competitive right now. Being pre-qualified, know where you stand with the bank, know where all your financials are at, know where you're wanting to be. Like that is what you need to dial in on first. And so, you know, there's tons of lenders across the state from the Bank First of the world to the Ag Credit. I mean, from one spectrum to another, there's a lot of lenders out there that are willing to help. That is going to be the most important piece to start with. And the reason why is because in this market, whether you're ready to pull the trigger, you have the financing to do that, and you're not ready, when you see a property pop online these days, that property can literally disappear in a matter of hours. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're ready to pull the trigger and you got that stuff dialed in, you're going to be way better suited for an agent to, instead of like, if you called me today, that's the first thing I'm going to want you to do. And you're more than likely, you're probably calling on a property that's already listed. Mm-hmm. Well, there's already buyers calling on that. So that's where you really, really need to dive off in and start there.
And it positions you, excuse me, in a position of strength. Because when you go to present an offer, what's going to look better, you know, an offer by itself or an offer with a letter of some kind that says, hey, I have the money to buy your place at the price that I'm offering you. I'm ready to move forward and I'm ready to close and give you what you're asking for. And so by having those things that Will's talking about, it's just going to strengthen your offer and strengthen your opportunity at getting the property that you're hoping to buy.
And it's really going to strengthen your opportunity with agents these days, because I mean, there's a lot of guys that have got off into the land business, and when you're not ready to buy, I mean, a lot of guys, I mean, some folks don't even get the buyer prepared, you know? Mm. So if you can have that in place, you just got a lot better chance of winning what you're trying to accomplish.
And two, and do that, John. And Will and I get excited here, so we're probably gonna feed off of each other.
That's good.
You gotta stop us if we get carried away. You know.
All right.
But so buying land, I mean, that's a dream for so many people, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit different for buying a house from the standpoint of a lot of your home buyers, they need a place to live, right? So if they're telling you, hey, we're in the market to buy a home, they're either ready to get a new home or they need a home.
Mm-hmm.
And with land, with it being more of a commodity or more of an extra thing that you pursue in life, we get a lot of dreamers, if you will, right?
Yeah.
And so going from that dreamer stage to, okay, I'm actually in a position to buy a place, it's important that you go through those steps of getting your financials in check, getting with the right people, and getting set up. And it's just as important as, what I'm trying to say is, when you go to talk to an agent, like what Will was talking about earlier, you want that agent to understand that, hey, I'm qualified, I'm ready, this is something that I'm looking to pull the trigger on, if not now, in the next 90 days, and I want you to represent me, and I want you to go to work for me, because this is very serious for me.
Mm-hmm.
We get tons and tons of inquiries every day that are not legitimate, right? And we get some that might be legitimate, but if you don't go down that road with these buyers, you never know for sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so not everybody understands when they reach out to an agent that they need to let that agent know that they're qualified and ready to make a decision, because to find somebody that's going to work hard for you and is going to help you, whether you're ready now or whether it's a year from now, having that communication and setting those expectations and laying the foundation to be in a position to move on something in this competitive market, it's all so important, and it all works in hand in hand. You can't have one without the other.
Right. Here's a quick question for you. So I was going to ask a little bit later about, you know, difference between home and land, but since we kind of got into it, I'll go ahead and bump this up. And maybe this is a better question for a bank, but, you know, when buying a home, the old rule of thumb was 20% down. And it seems like now you can do about 4% down. But, you know, what kind of down payment should somebody have ready if they're, you know, looking to buy one of these properties?
So it's pretty standard right now. It is about 20% down.
Gotcha.
And you can, some of your rates can be adjusted with what the amount that you are willing to put down. But to get into a piece of ground, you just need to be prepared to have that 20%. Now, granted, you got to keep in mind too, is a lot of things are changing right now with this market along the lines of interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
This time last year, there was a lot of deals getting done for 4%.
Yeah.
We're looking at stuff at 6% interest rate right now. So, you know, those are things that leads back into your previous question. You know, there's the unknowns of getting, you know, getting those things dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there are ways to get creative, you know, to where you can offset some of that down payment with, let's just say, timber value or, you know, equity. I mean, there's ways that you can offset some of that, but that's where having a banker, having an agent that is knowledgeable and that you can trust and can advise you is going to be so important. So yeah, if not 20%, I mean, you're looking at 30%. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that they'll be able to get into a land loan for 30 years, you know, like a conventional loan on a house. And that's just not the case most of the time. You're looking at probably 15 to maybe 20, you know, if you're lucky. So that's another thing too, is the term, in addition to the interest rates and the down payment, is going to be a little bit different. Now, with that being said, sometimes you can find properties with some income to offset some of those payments or to offset some of your initial down payment, your investment. And so those are all things that you have to be able to identify depending upon your needs.
Gotcha. Alrighty. Well, I think the financial part is probably the most important, but also probably the least sexy. So let's get into some more fun stuff real quick. Y'all did a great job with that, but I'm sure some people are more. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, nothing. I was just going to lead into the next question. So this one's kind of a hunting specific, you know, this is a hunting podcast, so I'm kind of coming at buying land from a hunting perspective. But what are some things you guys look for in a hunting property? You know, some general features and attributes, you know, like I'm going to throw out one random one. If I was looking for land today, one of the biggest things I would be looking for is road access on the west side of that property. Because in our area, you know, the wind is probably either going to blow from the south or southeast or the north. And so I love being able to access stands or food plots or whatever from the west, because, you know, a lot of times you can kind of set it up to where you can hunt both a southeast or a north wind. So that's just like a random land feature, you know, something that I have in mind. But you guys are on properties all the time. What are some things that you guys keep in mind when somebody says, I want a hunting property?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me when I'm looking personally, I'm always thinking the resale side of it, okay? Because we all know that we might think an area is great, but you just never know what the neighbor's going to be like. You never know if the genetics are really what you're wanting in that area. You think they are, but, you know, are you looking for just a place to where you can go and you're going to see a lot of deer? You're going to see, you know, you want more of a trophy type of place. So I'm looking at the resale side of it as well. So I'm going to want, I really like to have power. I personally, it's got to have water. And if I can get live water, even better. I like bigger timber, creek bottoms. That's just stuff that appeal to me from being from the Midwest. That doesn't mean it's going to be the best hunting piece though, but those are just things that appeal to me. And they, from what I've seen over the years, they help sell the property again. I like getting a trail camera history. I like, preparing, we do a lot of stuff with MapRite, and I know a lot of people use Onyx hunt maps these days. And I like to see how big the tracks are around me. Are those tracks leased? Is that a cattle ranch? Is there opportunity for me to lease the farm next door? And those are things we like to dive off into for clients if we can. I personally have done a ton of business in that Seminole, Hughes, O'Fussy, because that's just where my business used to be at for years. Mm-hmm. So I can pretty much, when you find the right agent, he's going to know about an area. Mm-hmm. And he's going to know a lot about that area if he's done a lot of business there. So when I look on the flat map, a lot of times I can say, okay, well, this farm next to this piece that we just listed, I think you could lease that. And those are things that, you know, just building that protection around you, because, man, you know, I mean, you see these guys these days, they're killing giant deer on 20 and 40 acre parcels. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a 1,000-acre spread, you know, to really have just a great time in the outdoors. So I guess you know, that's what I look for personally.
Mm-hmm. And I want to touch on something that Will said, or reiterate it rather. We all are passionate about hunting, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, us as hunters, we tend to shape our entire lives around it to some degree, if you will, right? And so what people can get caught in is, I don't want to call it a trap because it's not a trap, but the emotions of buying a piece of land for hunting, you can let your emotions dictate your financial decision, right? Mm-hmm. And what Will just said about resale value, that's removing the emotion, and that's looking at the facts, and that's making sure you're making an investment in something that, hey, if I don't end up with this for the rest of my life, or if I don't pass this down to my kids or my grandkids, it's a good marketable property that I can part ways with and maybe look for the next property or the next investment opportunity. You know, none of us ever know what life is going to throw at us. Mm-hmm. And so you get into a piece of property sometimes and you think, I'm going to spend the rest of my life here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to raise my kids here. I'm going to do this. And then you find out that maybe your neighbor's not what you thought they'd be. Or maybe, like Will said, the genetics aren't there or something. So that resale component is something that people don't think about a lot. And that was a really good point. And I was curious to see where he was going to go, because he and I have never had that conversation mm-hmm. about what he or what I look for, because everybody's a little bit different, you know? For me personally, if I'm talking about just attributes alone, water, cover, and really just the opportunity to take that property and make improvements to it, mm-hmm. Food plots, trail system, things of that nature. I'm more of the project guy. I enjoyed taking a farm that I owned and taking it from what was a hobby farm owned by folks who never hunted and didn't really care about it, and transforming that into my own little hunting paradise, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but some folks, they look for something more turnkey with, like Will was talking about, trail camera history, shed antlers that are sitting in the cabin that they can see, okay, they came from the property. I mean, everybody's a little bit different. So for me, I'm looking for all those things. And then something with great access, like you talked about, John, if you can't get onto certain parts of your property to capitalize on being able to truly hunt it and harvest animals, at that point, you just have a playground where you bump deer and turkeys and all those things around, mm-hmm. and you're not finding the success in the field that you want, you know, and, mm-hmm. and not everybody's hunters. That's what's so cool about our business is, we deal with a lot of hunters, but we deal with a lot of people who just want to experience the outdoors also. And especially as we can all relate to, COVID changed a lot of things in our world. And, we see more and more people looking to get out of these cities and just experience the country lifestyle, experience a piece of property. I just sold a place to, we just sold a place rather to some folks from California. And, they're some of the best people I've ever met in my life. And they just told me the heartache of some of what's happening there in that city and, or in that state and in the city they were in that market. And they were so excited to come to Oklahoma and embrace the conservative values here and embrace the rural lifestyle. And they're going to, you know, grow a garden on their property, and they're going to hunt, and, you know, they're going to raise their kids out in the country. And like, they didn't come here as diehard hunters, but man, they're going to embrace themselves in the Oklahoma lifestyle, and they're going to love it here. And those are the type of good people that we love to welcome into this state and into our communities. And so, while the hunting part of it, we both have things that we look for. There's a lot of people who aren't focused on that, and they love it just the same way we do.
And the wild flip side of that is, you know, those folks just bought a 55-acre farm with a beautiful farmhouse. And then, you know, from California, and then you got your guys from Pike County, Illinois. I mean, at one point in time, the deer mecca of the world, mm-hmm. and you have landowners that just closed on a deal with this week that bought 1,000+ acres on the North Canadian River. And he's like, Pike County, it doesn't exist like it used to be. Yeah. We're coming, you know, what you talked about earlier is we're bringing in the serious guy that wants to, you know, chase bucks on the North Canadian River, or, you know, and the big, and the acorn flats and post oaks and stuff that, you know, just stuff that, you know, just different, just a different environment and a different animal, you know, mm-hmm. just a different creature that is just special here, man. Mm-hmm. Super special.
Yeah. Awesome. I love it. So I got kind of a part B to this question. I want to break it down just a little bit more. So one of the things that makes Oklahoma so great, one of the reasons we all love it, is just how diverse it is, you know, from east to west. And a lot of people like to split it in half, you know, I-35, east and west. But really, you really need to split it into at least three pieces. So eastern, you got the rough timber, wooded stuff. Central Oklahoma, you got the rolling plains. Then as you get west, you get a little drier, more sandhill stuff. Are there different things you look for in those different you know what I'm talking about. Landscapes, there yeah. it is, yeah. You know, yeah. like in eastern Oklahoma, water probably isn't quite as big a deal as in western Oklahoma. And I'm sure you guys have been all over the state and sold properties all over the place. So are there different things you look for in the different parts of the states, state that, you know, might not be as big a deal in other places?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you think about, let's just talk about the Grant counties of the world up around Medford. I've owned some farms up there, and, you know, it's crucial to have water up in that area. I mean, you want to have water there. There's a handful of streams through there, but it's also an area where there's a lot of crop ground, and it's hard to find a lot of cover. So you'd be surprised up in that part of the country, you know, a place that might only have 15 or 20 trees on this place, but it may actually be holding, you know, 30 and 40 deer at all times just because of the grasses and things along those lines. And then you can go all the way down to the, you know, the Pushmataha's of the world. And then down there, you do have plenty of water, but a lot of it, a lot of what you run in down to that, in that part of the country is, when it comes to the real estate side of it and owning a piece of ground is legal access. There's so much awesome ground down there, but when it comes to purchasing that ground, there's so much of what we would call, in the real estate world, we call it landlocked, but you know, there's so many Forest Service roads and to getting legal access to those points. That's something you got to kind of look out for there, you know? And then you start to, I mean, you can think about all the way out when you start to get out in the panhandle. I mean, just the hunting side of it, heck, I mean, you got opportunities for antelope, you know? So if you got a place, they just have a, you know, a windmill and a drinker, you may have opportunities to shoot antelope or even in Hughes County these days. Hughes County has a decent amount of elk population, which a lot of folks don't know that. And we've ran a lot of trucks down there over there over the years. We've sold a lot of farms and a lot of them have had elk. So tells you really what the state has. I mean, from mule deer, antelope, elk, whitetail. I mean, it's pretty wild. Rio Grande turkeys to Easterns, you know, I've sold farms that have had, in those areas where you're like right on that line where is this a hybrid or, and then we actually had a client that both of his sons, one shot an Eastern and one shot a Rio out of the same group of birds that came in a few years back. So just really cool.
And man, you know, you look at these different landscapes across the state and, what's really cool about this business is sometimes we have to remind ourselves that, hey, not everybody thinks the same way we do, right? Mm-hmm. So Will's got a part of Oklahoma he's probably a little bit extra passionate about. I've got a part of Oklahoma I'm probably a little more passionate about. But you know what? Everybody's needs and desires are different, right? Like we get guys who say, well, I would love to kill the biggest deer possible and be as close as I can to the Kansas border, right? And then we say, okay, great, let's go check out a place by the Kansas border. And they're like, well, where do I put my tree stand? And we're like, well, there's not many trees right here to put a tree stand, you know what I mean? They're like, oh, well, I want a property with timber on it. I'm like, okay, well, we got to work back to the southeast, you know what I mean? And you know, you get other folks who are like, hey, really shooting 190 inch deer aren't important. It's not important to me. I just want a place where I can bring my kids. We can see deer. I can embrace them in the outdoors and, turkeys. We want to have turkeys and we want to be able to shoot hogs and like, you know, and all that stuff is going to dictate where that person lands, you know? And so each region of the state or each landscape that you're talking about, they're all incredible in their own way, right? It's just really depending down what are your wants, what are your needs, how far away is it for you? Is it something where you're willing to drive 4 hours to get to, or does your time really only allow you for a 1 hour, you know, one way trip to whatever place it is that you want? So these are all things that we talk through with people, and that's what ultimately helps us find a place for them.
Gotcha. Awesome. All righty. Let's move on a little bit here. We covered this a little bit, but, let's say you're new person, like we talked about earlier, looking to buy your first piece of property. What are some things you should have in mind, or what are some things you should know about? You know, I'm sure you guys deal with a lot of first-time landowners. What are some things that people don't know about that they need to know about?
Things that I'm going to be looking at is easements, legal access, because you know in Oklahoma there's a lot of section line right of ways and some that can be closed and some that are open. Those are things that you know, you may have a long driveway down into there. And it may not be legal access. So those are things that I'm going to want to know about. And that's when it comes I guess I'm going to spin this a little on you. Mm-hmm. It kind of goes back to finding a land specialist. Mm-hmm. And what I would touch on is the Realtors Land Institute, RLI. That's where you probably need to be. You need to be dialing in on someone that, no offense to the Keller Williams agents of the world or your residential folks, but mm-hmm. there's folks out there that spend a lot of time getting educated. They spend a lot of time in the outdoors. And so that is one place where if you're looking for a guy to help you search for land, those guys are qualified. Those guys have spent a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of hours and just diving off into the outdoors and knowing what's going on when it comes to land. So, mm-hmm. I would, you know, it's extremely important to find a guy that knows what they're doing in this business, because if you don't, you can get yourself in a situation where you buy a property that doesn't have legal access, especially if you're a cash buyer. Mm-hmm. If you're a cash buyer and those things aren't in place, there's some things that can slip through the cracks that could put you in a bad situation.
We actually wound up in one of those fairly recently, and so it's definitely possible, easier than you think.
If you don't mind, I know you're the one hosting the podcast, but tell me about your situation there.
Yeah.
Like, maybe is it something that, looking back on it, could have been prevented, or I guess what are you referring to there?
Probably so. So we had a property we sold, I guess this previous January, or you know, just a few months ago, and basically it was one old man who had owned several thousand acres, and kind of his retirement plan was ever so often he would sell off a chunk, and we bought his second to last chunk, you know, other than the chunk he kept, and as he sold those chunks, he never did any kind of access agreement. And so come to find out, you know, we went to sell our property after we had bought it from him, and my dad started digging into it, and come to find out, we actually did not have any form of legal access. And so if that man wanted to, he could have slapped a gate over it and said, too bad. You know, I know he legally can't keep you from your land. But it turned into a little bit of an ordeal because, you know, when my dad went to sell it, whoever was buying it, he wanted to make sure that they had access. So, yeah, it turned into a little bit of a circus.
Yeah. And that's more common than you think. I mean, if that makes you feel any better, mm-hmm. we run into those types of scenarios every day. And so you're not alone there.
Mm-hmm. We've spent days driving and Oklahoma City or Tulsa trying to track down landowners for our sellers to try to get easements signed off on and work with surveyors and you know, just trying to track these folks down, because we've had guys that have bought places just like you said, owned it for 10 years, turn around and go to sell it and said, hey, you know, the guy who sold this to me said that there was an easement,
mm-hmm.
and there wasn't. So yep. Those are things you just got to look out for all the mm-hmm. time.
Mm-hmm. And going back to your original question, I guess, of what do you look out for as a new buyer or somebody who's never bought land? I mean, there's maybe a couple things that I would mention there. Is number one, like I kind of alluded to earlier, try to remove the emotion from it as much as possible. It's an exciting thing buying mm-hmm. your first piece of property. Like, you know, for me personally, my entire childhood and young adult years, my dream was to own my own piece of land. And so like, that's an exciting process, but you have to also make sound decisions, and you want to make sure that the investment you're making is one that's thought out and one that's well advised. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that would be one thing that I would definitely encourage people to do. Just trust that process and trust that the right piece of property is going to come along. Even if you miss out on an opportunity, or even if you're not sure where that opportunity is going to come about next, just be patient in the process and be ready. And then the other thing I was going to say is, a lot of us in our minds, we have the idea of the perfect piece of property, right? And I would say very rarely do you actually run into what you see in your mind as the perfect property. There's no such thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's people who might really, really love the property that they ended up with, but very rarely is it exactly what you had in your mind. So having an open mindset to taking a piece of property and making it what you want it to be, or taking a piece of property and saying, you know, this didn't check all my boxes, but it checks most of the boxes, and land in general is a great investment, and this is going to appreciate during the time that I own it, and I'm going to be able to turn around and sell it one day for a profit when that perfect place does maybe come along. Just keeping that in mind, because I feel like some people are actually led to inaction and they never execute on buying. Not that they never execute, but they prolong the buying process because they have this idea of the perfect property in their mind. But finding one that checks most of your boxes and you can kind of create that love for part of the love for that piece of property, or most of it rather, is going to come through the experiences and the memories you have while you own it, you know? And if it was a great financial decision on top of that, you're going to love it even more. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, you hear all the time, it's kind of cliche, like you can't ride four wheelers on a stock, or you can't hunt deer on a stock. Land is one of those really cool things that you can enjoy and your family can enjoy and your friends can enjoy, and you can make money on it at the same time. Like, it's just, it almost seems like it's cheating, you know?
And touch on what Andrew's just saying is, I had a client a few years back, and just to give you a scenario, that he had a lot of boxes that he wanted to check, and he became a great friend, and we've done some other deals and stuff together. But when he started searching, he's from Florida and moved to Texas and wanted to find a farm in Oklahoma. So when we started searching his boxes and his criteria, I was like, man, I don't know if I can find this thing. And I see hundreds of these farms a year. And so we finally found the right investment. And what has happened is he's fallen in love with the farm. And we talked with him this week, and I'm like, hey, man, it's time to get that farm on the market, you know? And, you know, just trying to see where his head at, because he's like, man, I just don't know if this farm is really it, but I want a place to hunt. I don't want to lease a place. Mm-hmm. And now he's just falling in love with it. And he's like, I just don't know if I could ever sell it. And, you know, at the time, I mean, just the situation is, I mean, he bought this farm a couple of years ago for $1,500 an acre. And he's like, what's it worth these days? And I'm like, well, it's probably worth about $3,000 an acre right now. So he's like, oh my God, I made a great investment. I love the farm now. I'm not going to get rid of the farm now. And it's just it was a win-win for him.
Awesome. All right. So this last question, I went back and forth on whether I wanted to ask you guys or not, but it's one that I get asked all the time, and I wanted y'all's opinion on it. So I've had...
Full send.
What's that?
I said full send.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going for it. So I get asked this question all the time, like I said, and for the sake of this, I'm going to pretend I'm not an out-of-state hunter. I'm going to pretend that I live in Oklahoma City in the very center of the state, and it doesn't matter to me which direction I go. But I get asked all the time, if you had to pick a part of the state for whitetail hunting, which part would you pick? And so we don't have to get super specific. I don't want to get super specific, but we're going to break it down to, you know, northwest, northeast, southeast, southwest. If you guys had to pick a corner of the state for whitetails, which one would you pick and why?
Oh, man.
And let me clarify. Are you talking about us personally, our preferences, or like if we were a buyer looking?
I tell you what, just to make it not quite as so crazy for out-of-state people who are trying to spy on us, let's go with you guys personally.
Okay. I'm gonna touch on two different things right here, okay? The investment side of me says I'm going to stay right in that central Oklahoma with south of I-40, Hughes, Seminole, Ofuskee, Pontotoc, and Cole. That's where I'm going to stay, investment side of it. The hunting is phenomenal there. But what I call those deer down there, I call them acorn vampires. You're going to get phenomenal trail camera pictures. You're going to have tons of deer. But odds of you killing them, you probably need to be a better hunter than I am. Now, if I want to know that I can buy a farm tomorrow, have a little bit of income off of it possibly, go out there, put some food plots in, and have an opportunity to kill a 150-inch deer or better on a consistent basis, I'm gonna go into the north central from. I'll get pretty specific with you. I'm gonna probably get focused towards a Grant alfalfa, even into a Payne County, maybe even a Pawnee. Mm-hmm. Personally, I like some of that open country with a little bit of farm ground. I think that's just a little bit of more my flavor. You know what I mean? I'm mm-hmm. being from the Midwest. I'd like to see a little soybeans or Milo along a creek bed, that's what I like. But I think if you're looking for the investment side of it right now and just a true true recreational gym, I think it's right there in that south central part of the state.
Mm. Yeah. And for me, John, I would say if you took a line and drew it and divided the red dirt country from the green country, mm-hmm. That's where probably my Midwestern roots get the best of me a little bit. Is I love getting up in a tall tree, man. And mm-hmm. I love being timber and, experiencing rutting whitetails and like not being able to necessarily see, hundreds, if not thousands of yards with a spotting scope or binos. I just like a little more of that timber rut hunting type of feel with some topography and something that takes me a little bit more back to my roots. Now, the hunting opportunities in Western Oklahoma are freaking incredible, mm-hmm. Especially if you're asking the question of, whitetails. Mm-hmm. I hunted with a great buddy in Western Kansas last year, and it opened my eyes to the world of hunting that is exactly the opposite of what I just said I enjoy, uh-huh. There wasn't a tree anywhere. We were stalking through, CRP grass fields. Mm-hmm. There's just big deer after big deer. And, I know there's lots of Western Oklahoma that is the same way. But for me personally, man, if I had to make an emotional decision, I enjoy being in the timber and experiencing whitetail hunting from up in a tree that way.
Yep.
So
before I started this podcast, I was on Dan's podcast, Nine Figure Chronicles, and he asked me that question, if I was going to come hunt there, what part of the state? And I told him, I was like, man, I could show you examples of big deer from every corner of this state. It's just kind of like y'all are saying, it's what kind of hunting are you into? And that's kind of the cool thing about this state. You got mountain hunting in the east, you got kind of desert western hunting in the west, and so it's kind of whatever floats your boat, and you get in the right area, you're probably going to be able to find some good deer also. So yeah, no wrong answer there.
No,
I was just curious what y'all thought. So
absolutely, man. We met you guys at the Backwoods Hunting and Fishing Expo, and mm-hmm. I mean, you got to think, just two years ago at that expo, there was 30, I believe it was 32 bucks in the state of Oklahoma that were scored that year, there were over 200 inches. Mm-hmm. And they were from all over the place, from Pushmataha to Payne County to Woodward mm-hmm. County. I mean, they were from all over. So, I mean, there's big deer everywhere here.
Yep.
Man. Yeah. They are.
Yep.
And all people are starting to find out.
I was just about to say, I think we need to shut our mouths now. I think we're good. Yeah, be quiet. So.
Great for the state. Great for the culture, and mm-hmm. We enjoy people who are passionate about the same things that we are, and want to ultimately play a small hand in conservation and just contributing to the overall experience here hunting in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So if people come in and they want to make that better and they want to enhance that, we welcome that.
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, Will and Andrew, this has been awesome. We're kind of coming up on time here, and I want to make sure we have enough time to let you guys, tell people how to find you. And so, go ahead and shout out your, website, social media, phone numbers, basically just any way people can get in contact with you.
Yeah, man. You can go to our website. It's arrowheadlandcompany.com. Just launched it. We're really, really proud of it. We feel it's one of the cleanest land websites out there, so if you're in the market to buy or sell, it's definitely a good tool for you. So as far as social media, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Now that Elon's taking over Twitter, maybe we'll get a Twitter. You know what I mean? We try to be interactive on that. To anybody listening to this, if you're thinking about land ownership, buying, selling, even just want to talk, Will and I, we carry our cell phones all the time. Our numbers are out there to the public. They're on our website. They're on our listings. We welcome conversation with anybody who wants to catch up about land ownership or hunting or even employment opportunities. I mean, we talked about how we want to grow our brokerage. And so if there's somebody out there who thinks, man, I'd love to get into selling land, or, hey, I'd love to have a small hand in what these guys are looking to do, we welcome those conversations. So feel free to call or text us anytime. And our phone numbers are online.
And that's for guys in Kansas looking to get into the business. That's for guys in Iowa to look that are getting into the business. I mean, that is something we do want to, you know, we're willing to help mentor and nurture people along the way in this business. And I mean, there's a lot of room for us to grow, and there's a lot of opportunity out there. And it's blessed both of us in our lives, the land business has, and we get to touch. The coolest thing about it is getting to have a part of someone building, whether it's a 10-acre partial, 20-acre partial, or 200-acre partial. When they get an opportunity to buy their first piece of ground, when it's that first piece of ground, man, that's the funnest client you could ever lay your hands on. Mm-hmm. They're so excited, and we take a lot of pride in, like what Andrew touched on, can I kind of calm that emotion down. We'll be excited at the closing table with you, but let's make sure we make the best investment possible for you and get you to where you really want to be. So,
And Will and I, we're in this business to help people. And like one of the things we say at Arrowhead is, when it's all said and done, our legacy will be that we played a small part in helping you build yours, mm-hmm. you know, and when people buy land, that's a legacy type of move for them and their families in a lot of cases. And if we can play a small part in that, man, we're proud to hang our hats on that. That's what we're here for. And that's why we're in the real estate business.
Awesome, guys. Awesome. I think we did a great job on this episode. Y'all answered a lot of questions. Any closing thoughts before we get out of here?
Man, we want to thank you for the opportunity. The outdoors have shaped our lives. There's no doubt about it. We would not be sitting here talking to you if it was not for the outdoors, and really if it was not for a career in selling land and real estate. And so I wanted to say that buying land is a lot more attainable than most folks think. And there's a lot of people, you know, we talked a little bit about the dreamers earlier. It's great to dream about it, but we want to help make your dreams come true. And, it's more attainable than most people think. Sometimes you just got to get a little creative, and sometimes you got to have a plan. And so if we can help people formulate that plan, we want to do that. So don't think, oh man, I'll never own land. It's too expensive, or it's not what it used to be, or I lost my lease, or I lost my access. It's just not the case. We can help you, and we want to help you. And so don't give up on that dream.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, Will, Andrew, thank you guys for coming on. Look forward to hearing more from you guys. And until next time, we will see you guys later.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, man.
That's going to do it for this week, folks. I told you guys we had a full show. We're over an hour already. Thank you, Will and Andrew, for coming on the show and also just believing in this show enough to want to partner with us. So thank you guys for that. All you listeners, I feel like I say it every week, but I truly mean it. This would not be possible without you guys. So thank you guys for tuning in. Like I said at the beginning, we have so much content coming down the pipe over the next several weeks and months and hopefully years. So thank you guys for listening. While y'all were listening to this episode, I was smoking some ribs on my Traeger. I just pulled them off. They're resting under some foil in the kitchen. So I'm about to go dive headfirst into those bad boys. Thank you guys for listening, and until next week, I will see you guys right back here on the Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast.